on this Fortnite's edition of Nerd and Ty. Steamposium cancels only 5 days before the event. Iron Fist and Luke Cage shows are Thanos out of existence. And we talk about some of our actual favorite spooky media. All this and very little else in this Fortnite's edition of Nerd and Ty. It's a very spooky episode. I'm scared. I'm very scared.
Are you spooked?
I'm spooked out of my mind. Are you spooked out, my co-host for this episode, Gen?
It's getting real spoopy up in here.
It really is. It is just before Halloween.
Yes.
Here we are at Nerd and Ty. I am the believable Nick Izumi. And with me is, of course, as I've just mentioned, the unstoppable Gen.
Sup, y'all? So excited for Halloween.
It's the best holiday.
It's so good. It's just like, I went out and I got spooky decorations for my desk at work, and it was so good, and I'm so happy. Just best time.
Yeah, it is, we have not, we are, without Trey this week. Trey had some serious stuff that, if he feels like going into it, I will let him go into that on his own time, but for right now, just know that, Trey was not available.
He's doing okay, he's just...
Mm-hmm.
Not with us at this time. He's in a better place.
he will be busy. He did have some contributions for our spookier part of the show, but first we're going to tackle a little bit of news. So what do you think, Gen? Should we start with the bummer news?
Well, the bummer news or the bummer news, take your pick.
I guess we'll start with looking at another one biting the dust, as Seattle's steampunk con Steamposium has been canceled only 5 days before the event. We've mentioned it on the site so many times before. This is becoming more and more of a thing in the con scene. These cons not just canceling, but canceling mere days before the event. And in this case, we have Steamposium, which announced their cancellation only 5 days before for reasons that appear to be money. They did put out a little press release where they apologized to all the people excited and all of that, but mentioned that their financial situation is not one that will allow them to put the event on, and that despite 5 years of being a thing, they have canceled only 5 days before. So that's... they were going to be on October 26th, so at the end of this very week, but not anymore.
It's sad that, like, this has become such a normal thing, where as of late, we've heard of so many conventions canceling mere days before they're about to be put on, whether they're brand new conventions or long-running ones. And, what's going on?
Well, we've mentioned it. We've talked about it on the show before, and you were talking about it even before the show. Like, there's a bubble bursting right now.
Yeah, we've mentioned the convention bubble, that there's just too many conventions to be sustainable for how many attendees there are and how many interested people there are. And Yeah, it's very likely that that bubble we've been talking about is starting to burst. I've heard it a lot within the artist communities. So, like, those people may be noticing it more than your regular attendees might be. But, yeah, like, this is a thing that's happening.
I imagine some vendors are seeing it, too. Yeah, that this is just, yeah. There's a lot. There's so many cons during the year. And, you know, they're, even with geekdom being, you know, geek culture, like, what does that even mean anymore? That's basically just mainstream popular culture right now.
Yeah.
But even with people more openly into that, we're in a place where, like, people can't afford to go to this many cons. And with where a lot of people are economically, they especially can't afford to hit up, you know, at so many cons during the year. And
on the artist side, and I know a lot of artists that, like, make a major portion of their income for mm-hmm. the year from these conventions. And when, like, when you apply to all these conventions, you're like, oh, there's so many to apply to, and you don't get into, like, any of them,
mm-hmm.
it's very concerning.
It's disheartening, and it's frustrating.
And I don't know if all these conventions are canceling because there's just a crazy amount of conventions, like, out there now. Like, words.
No, I get what you mean. Like, or if it's just biting off more than they could chew.
Like, it could be that, like, they're all trying to one-up each other in order to keep those fans. You know, keep that attendance money coming in strong. It's just, it's weird that so many of them are having, like, these financial troubles.
Well, you mentioned finances just now. Something else that we haven't updated on the website yet, but that Trey made us aware of before we started recording, is that Steamposium's Facebook page has been deleting comments where people suggest doing chargebacks to their credit cards since the con said they won't be refunding people. So, yeah, this is clearly a pretty ugly situation.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've been there. Nerd and Tie Expo, you know, we've been honest about it. It was not the financial success we wanted it to be. But, yeah, I don't know how much of it is, yeah, if it's people trying to one-up each other, or if it's just these young people biting off more than they could chew, or thinking that they're going to make the same kind of numbers as other conventions when, you know, we're super saturating the market more and more, and there's just not enough people and not enough time and not enough, you know, vacation request times for people to take during the year to justify as many cons existing as they do, and maybe that's finally coming to bite people in the butt, and it sucks. It yeah. really does.
It definitely does. Like, it makes me honestly curious to see, like, which conventions the general populace is choosing to go to. You know? Just to, like, see some data.
Same. I would really like some more concrete data.
Would be great. Hey, peeps, listeners, mm-hmm. someone. See if you can't get some data on this, because
this could be a research project.
It really could. It really could.
But I mean, even that's, like, subject to how reliable the numbers that a con publishes for their attendance even are, which, you
true.
Know, that's another can of worms altogether right there.
Yeah, for sure. And plus, each situation is different. You know,
right?
For each convention canceling, like, a lot of them are very similar,
right?
Yeah,
And I don't even know. Part of it, this just crossed my mind as you said that. Like, I don't even know how big steampunk is as a subgenre anymore. If it's as big as it used to be, because I remember steampunk used to be really big, and I don't know if it's still as.
I'd like to think it still prolific. Is big.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't have any hard data on it, so I probably shouldn't overthink it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Do you have much else to contribute to this, or do you think we've reached our...
No, it just sucks that yet another convention has fallen, you know?
Yeah, it's super ugly, and it sucks.
You know what else sucks?
This seems like a segue. What sucks,
girl? When Netflix... decides to cancel Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Ooh.
Ah.
So,
ouch.
I'll admit, I wasn't super fond of Iron Fist, but yeah,
Iron
Luke
Fist
Cage
wasn't the best, but like, I loved Luke Cage.
Right. Awesome show.
Right, and like, so it's absolutely mind-boggling why they would choose to cancel these IPs. Defenders was like really big, really huge, and no one can figure out the reasoning behind these abrupt disappearings. Within a few, like both of them, within a few days of Daredevil's third season coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very... The timing is very strange on it.
It's very weird. Especially because, like... You're canceling the shows of, like... Half of, like, the big IP that you're working on.
And I'm... Part of me is curious... Well, more than part of me. I'm really curious if this ties into... Disney hasn't been super secretive with the idea that they kind of want to do their own streaming service. I know. Oh boy, another streaming service. Okay. Some of the IPs that we know that they want attached to that is like the new season of Star Wars Clone Wars. And, because it's important that we bring that back at this juncture. perhaps that this is part of it, that they're taking back these Marvel characters, but it's so strange, because that's where these shows have found their life and found their following, and...
Yeah. Like, it looks like the only, like, Marvel Netflix shows that are still, like, up, are gonna be Jessica Jones, Punisher, and Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. And
which is fine, is good, they're all great, but like, man.
Yeah, it's such a bizarre decision. I don't, like, when it was just Iron Fist, I sort of got it. Because we should mention that Iron Fist was the first one that they announced the cancellation. And yeah. It was like, okay, this is the one that kind of was the most, that critics and audiences were the most lukewarm on. I sort of get it.
Yep, makes sense.
But then, like, they followed that up with Luke Cage, and it was like, wait a minute, like, people really liked this show. Did Luke Cage even get a second season? I don't think it did.
I thought it was slated to get one.
I might be wrong, because I fell behind on the Netflix Marvel shows, so I didn't, but I know Iron Fist's second season only came out, like, earlier, like, this year, so that was really... bizarre with this sudden news that, like, oh, by the way, we're canceling both these shows. I did see some on a less dire note, I did see some pretty funny react gifs that people or image macros that people did, including one of Thanos reacting to half the event, the Defenders disappearing with perfectly balanced, as everything should be.
Right. And Luke Cage did have two seasons, yep.
Okay, good. Okay, so I mean, all of the... So, right now, Daredevil is the only one of these shows that has had more than two seasons.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a just-right-now sort of thing, as I say that. And it's...
Yeah.
It's weird. I really hope this isn't a push so that Disney can put it on their streaming service, but that is unnerving.
Plus, there's really no hope of understanding why they did it, because Netflix is really tight-lipped and releases no data at all.
We don't know what their... We don't know what the streaming data is, even on, like, their really successful shows, so we're probably
Yeah, we have no idea what the viewership is on anything Netflix has.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like, they'll make claims about things, but, you know, as some people criticized Bright for, it's like, Netflix, are you sure you're not including people who just left the app running and then the movie just started?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, we don't know what the numbers are, we don't know...
And the only clue that I can find is an anonymous source from the Hollywood Reporter that said the Luke Cage axing was a result of creative differences. Well, that gives us a lot to go on. Frickin' nearly everything dies because of creative differences. And what the heck does that even mean?
Yeah, that it's a big non-answer that it doesn't help.
Not at all. So like, unfortunately, we're going to have to live without Luke Cage and Iron Fist, I guess.
Again, legit shame, absolute garbage. Maybe, who knows, maybe the Heroes for Hire will find their own thing. Maybe they'll do something together. I don't know, but it sucks. And that's... Yeah.
It does.
Sorry, listeners, that our news portion this episode has just been nothing but sadness. It's like... Hey, no Trey this week. Also, a couple of fun shows are canceled, and the con bubble is bursting. Dear God.
You know what's not so dismal?
What's not dismal, Gen?
Well, I mean, depending on how you take it. Halloween!
Yeah!
Some people could take it as dismal, but we don't.
Halloween's my favorite holiday, personally. I love Halloween.
It's so good and fun just to, like, get scared.
Get scared, watch a...
You know?
Watch a scary movie, throw candy at children. It's really the American dream in itself.
Yeah! It's great! And we love scary things.
We love some scary things. Like, you know, like watching the news every night, that's a scary thing I don't enjoy. But
personally, I can't handle scary movies that well. When I was younger, I got scared of the Green Goblin in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films.
The Willem Dafoe Green Goblin.
Oh, yeah.
We'll meet again, Spider-Man.
I love him, but he gave me nightmares.
Oh, my God.
So I can't really say anything about, like, being tough. Like, I can't go to haunted houses, like, legit haunted houses, just because, like, I would pee myself everywhere. So actually, something that I do love is when other people go to haunted houses with their GoPros and do point of view videos through them. So I can just watch them on my computer, safe in my house with my blankies and my hot cocoa.
Nice.
And enjoy, like, the spooks and scares, but not actually, like, have a heart attack, you know?
Right, legit. Legit.
Legit.
No, that totally makes sense. Well, on the other hand, I have a lot of experience with, I actually didn't start getting into scary movies and stuff until fairly recently. Like, when I was a kid, I just couldn't get into horror. And thanks largely to three people, two of which I know you actually know, Gen. My wife, Raina, our mutual friend, Dylan, and, one of my best friends, Hannah, I've learned to really appreciate horror in video games and movies. So this Fortnite's topic is very near and dear to that cause. We're going to talk about some of our... Last time, of course, we talked about some silly Halloween things. Now we're going to talk about the actual scary stuff.
Yeah!
Oh my god. God, so much scary on the plate. Do you want to start this one off, or would you like me to?
You go for it.
Okay, so... The first... One, I'm going to mention for something that I think is a really, obviously, scary movies, there's a lot of scary movies, and people have a lot of favorites. I wanted to pick some stuff that was a little more obscure tonight, so what I wanted to start off with is a Hammer horror movie from back in the day, called Curse of the Werewolf. And I know, like, some of you I might have already lost just with the fact that, you know, it's an old monster movie. But Hammer movies are a lot of fun. They're these, kind of British horror exploitation movies. They tend to be a bit gorier, handle some, heavier subject matter. And this one, I will give a fair kind of trigger warning, I guess, to viewers that, there is some stuff related to sexual assault in it, so that can be a little much for some viewers, and no judgments if you can't get into it. But Curse of the Werewolf is a very graphic story of a man who, due to his bloodline, finds himself, the victim of being a frightening werewolf completely beyond his control. And just the way that the wolf transformation is shown, the after effects of the grisly murders that he commits, that classic, not entirely realistic Hammer horror blood that sprays everywhere, and just it's a legitimately scary movie. And it was one of the two movies that made me appreciate just how scary Wolfmen are. I really love this movie. It made me uncomfortable. It made me feel kind of sick to my stomach. But it was also just really well made, and I did tear up a little bit. So that's my first scary movie that you might not have seen recommendation. It is. It is an excellent movie. I do recommend it. How about you, Gen? What's something scary on your mind?
Well, okay, so most of the scary things that I absolutely adore are video games. I don't know really why, but I absolutely adore the entire genre of horror video games. And a spider has decided to join me for our discussion.
They want in on our spooky Halloween party, obviously.
I think he's just looking for a snack. But what really got me started was the grandfather, most consider of the genre, Amnesia: The Dark Descent.
Oh, hell yes.
Right? Like, if you know the genre, like... Well, really, I don't... Okay, let me take that back. It didn't really... It's not the grandfather of the horror genre. It's the grandfather of, actually, a very select version of horror games that are first person, and you basically can't really fight back against whatever is after you. It really pioneered that specific kind of horror game. So things like Slenderman, you know, based off that. There's a whole slew of them. Penumbra, which I adore that series, is also in that vein. But Amnesia, I remember watching a playthrough of it at like 3 in the morning.
Oh, God.
Like, by myself, in the dark. It was the worst idea. But I adore that game so much. It still can, like, that freaking water monster, I
right?
goddamn swear.
No, I'm right there with you. I played it for the first time. I was late on the train. I played it two Halloweens ago. I did live stream it. I don't think anyone actually watched it, but I did live stream it. It was a lot of fun, and I was scared out of my mind. I was in a dark room. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's so atmospheric, too, and it, like, the title suggests, your character doesn't remember who you are. But yeah. You're finding letters to yourself throughout the game, and you have to do some pretty grisly stuff to progress.
Whew. And one of the things I love, one of the mechanics of the game that I absolutely adore, not only can you not fight back, not only do you have a lantern that constantly drains of oil, so you're left in the dark all the time, but you have to keep your sanity.
Yes.
You have to keep finding laudanum in order to keep your sanity. You can't even look at the monsters who are chasing you because they will drive you insane. And they did this in a really beautiful way to convey the insanity to the player by messing with, your screen will start to, shake. And, it'll go blurry at times with the movement. But my favorite part is if you go too far, it will look like bugs are crawling across your screen.
Oh, God, yeah. At first I thought that was, when that first happened to me, it was like, okay, did I fall into a room with cockroaches? Oh, no, I'm just going crazy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, I just love how they took elements and really pushed it onto the player to scare the player, not just the character.
Yeah, you are you're left in this you're left in this really scary place, and you're just trying to puzzle solve and work things out, and yeah, there is a kind of vaguely H.P. Lovecraft thing going on with this kind of cosmic horror thing, and like your insanity dropping if you so much as look upon the enemy.
That does segue nicely into another one I love.
Okay, well, go ahead. Let's talk about another
Call of Cthulhu.
Oh.
not the best, not AAA, but really, really enjoyable. It's not, I wouldn't call it really, jump scary, terrifying as, Amnesia, definitely, but it's Call of Cthulhu. It's a Lovecraftian video game, and it's delightful in that regard, if you enjoy Lovecraftian things.
Which, you know, it's a universe with a lot to enjoy from a creator with some pretty terrible beliefs as a person. Not to crap on H.P. Lovecraft too much tonight.
Yeah.
But there's never a bad time to do it. Oh. Oh my god. So, going back to scary films, I'm going to talk about a movie that was not directed by the maestro, but was brought, really produced and probably brought stateside under his name. There is a Spanish film produced by the great Guillermo del Toro. It's one of my favorite horror movies ever made. It's a ghost story called The Orphanage, or El Orfanato in its original Spanish. The Orphanage is a movie I recommend to a lot of people because it's a very psychological horror movie. There is one jump scare in it, I will admit that. But it tells the story of a young woman who decides that she and her husband and her newly adopted son are going to start a new life in a house that was the orphanage that she grew up in. And one day her son goes missing. And what follows is not just her quest to re-find her son, but also a journey into her own past at the orphanage and the stories that were told to her back then and how it all ties back together. And it's unnerving and it's creepy, and I had trouble getting to sleep the night that I saw it. I was in high school. A friend of mine and I had both read about it in a magazine, and we drove 45 minutes north to Madison, Wisconsin to find a theater that was screening it. And it was worth the trip. It's still one of my favorite scary movies. I haven't watched it in a while, though.
I should come down and watch it with you.
Yes, you should. That would be an excellent way to spend, an evening, because, it's just a great movie, even if it is, super, super, creepy, and it is. Oh boy, it is. Yeah, that's my other entry. It's a really atmospheric, Spanish movie that I recommend to everyone.
Speaking of atmospheric, I'm gonna move into, space.
Ooh, space.
Specifically Dead Space.
I remember that game.
Yeah, there have been, I think, three of them. But the original, the first one is honestly the best. But atmospheric is definitely the way that Dead Space brings the horror to you. The monsters are scary, yes, but it is a bit of a shmup, so... You know, I don't know. Once I, like, start shooting monsters, they get less scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
No, that makes sense. It's that same, like, problem that modern Doctor Who faces of there was a point when the Weeping Angels were terrifying, and that point is not anymore.
Yeah. When you think it's unbeatable, it's way more scary. But no, Dead Space really had a beautiful... atmosphere, because a lot of the game is you by yourself in this abandoned place in the middle of space.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the dereliction and the like the fact that you kind of know that things are out there, but you don't know where they are or when they're gonna get you. I mean, very much alien like
right.
But, like, it's just, they did such a fantastic job, especially with the sound design. The sound design in that game is phenomenal. Like, they didn't play it up too much with the music. They really let the ambiance breathe. And it's just, like...
That's why I have not played yet, and I really...
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. My boyfriend will agree. He would be here like, yeah, Dead Space.
So on that huge list of things from the PS3 era that I somehow haven't managed to touch yet.
And then because my list is so long, I'm going to go into another space one.
Okay.
Which is a little indie title called Soma.
Ooh, okay.
And this one got me really, really good. Scared the crap out of me. It's another, you're wandering around in space, in a derelict place. And there's all these androids / robots about that you like glean information from and get, you know, tools from and stuff. And it's just it's got beautiful ambiance, and the ending is such a great twist that, like, I'm not going to mention anything because, like, you need to go experience it for yourself. Even in a Let's Play that you watch, like, it is really, really good.
So, speaking of horror games that are kind of classic, you reminded me of one that really has stood the test of time. And I know, when I say it, I'm kind of gonna guess that half of our audience has already played it or know it really well. But I had the experience of first playing it only like 2 years ago, and someone made me play it by like sitting like in a dark basement, you know, with the lights out. And that was Silent Hill 2 for the PlayStation 2. And that's. It's a classic now. Like a lot of people will, a lot of people know it like the back of their hand. I mean, heck, the main baddie of the game, the Pyramid Head. Or the Red Pyramid thing, as it's called in-game, has sort of become the mascot of the franchise. But Silent Hill 2 is this... atmospheric is definitely a word for it. It's unnerving. Mm. It's psychological. It's vaguely Freudian. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely the most Freudian one of the bunch, explicitly with the monster designs, and it was.
There's a lot of psychosexual imagery. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it makes sense with the story. I personally adore all the Silent Hill games. I love them so much, even Downpour.
I might end up getting to try out 3 soon, because I have another friend, my aforementioned friend Hannah, that is actually I think Silent Hill 2 is her favorite game, but 3, like the protagonist Heather, she really is fond of, so.
Yeah, 2 and 3 are definitely the, like, favorites out of all of them. There's a lot of love for 1 for various reasons. There's a lot of debate over 1.
There's a lot of rage over Silent Hills and how that's never going to be released now.
Yeah, but Death Stranding is coming, and I'm freaking goddamn hype about that. Oh my god.
With good reason.
I'm so excited. But yeah, I love Silent Hill. It's just so good. They're so good. It's like good stories, good characters.
In the good atmosphere, good scares. If you haven't played, at least played Silent Hill 2, do yourself a favor and at least play that one.
It's widely regarded as one of the better ones, if not the best one. It's a lot of people's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
With 3 coming in very close. And actually, 4. A lot of people like 4, too.
Really? Okay. Normally,
four is a little bit different. It's got a different. They all, nearly all of them play about the same, except for four has got a different dynamic to it.
Interesting.
It's still very good.
It's a really psychological and upsetting game. I highly recommend Silent Hill. All of them, really. So, yeah. That's a game that comes to mind.
Play all of them and get the secret endings.
It's worth getting. I promise.
It's worth getting, yeah. For sure. For sure. In that same vein of classic horror video games,
yeah.
I'm going to shout out to Resident Evil.
You can't not give it some
I can't
love.
Not mention Resident Evil. I mean, come on, people. Classic zombie, like, horror video games.
Even in the PS1 era when the scariest part was how bad the control scheme was.
Just gonna tank around these zombies, vroom vroom. I personally really adore the first one, and I really enjoyed the last one they did, actually.
I've been hearing that 7 was really good, actually.
The VR one, yeah. It got back to, like, because some of them in the middle, like, strayed and got kind of weird and not truly, like, terrifying.
Yeah, it's hard for survival horror to be scary when you can just shoot everything with a rocket launcher. Exactly.
You need to keep the survival part in there to really make it scary. And 7 went back to that, and it was really enjoyable.
4 was fun. 4 was pretty good. Like, it's a big departure plot-wise from most of them, but it works really well. That one's... Yeah, Resident Evil, that's a very good scary series. I guess while we're talking about classic Japanese horror, I want to give Trey a shout-out. Because obviously we were working with him on this little project. And the one scary thing that Trey absolutely wanted us to mention, which unfortunately I have not seen... are the original two straight-to-video Ju-On movies. Literally the Cursed Grudge series from Japan. And some people don't realize that, even before Ju-On the Grudge the movie, which is what was remade into the American film The Grudge... There were two Ju-On movies that were straight to video in Japan, and those are the ones that Trey wanted to give a shout out to. And I haven't seen them, so I cannot speak to their quality.
Same, but Japanese horror is a whole different kettle of fish than American horror.
It really is. There's foreign horror.
We may like the gore here, but like.
I shouldn't even say foreign horror, because, I mean, I was just mentioning how gory Hammer films can be. But, yeah. Like, my experience with Japanese and several other European horror movies have been, they're very psychological.
Mm.
And, yeah, that, from what I've been able to tell, this was no exception. I might need to add this to my viewing list, though. It sounds interesting.
We may need a scary movie night.
Mm-hmm. I'm up for that. I'm super up for that. We just... Hot cocoa, blankets, and, dimmed lights so that we can't fight back the fears easily. I'm all about that life.
Yes, and speaking of psychological horrors, I'm going to talk about another video game.
Okay,
I've got
throw it at me.
So many. Outlast.
Oh, I don't know this one very well.
Oh, Outlast has become so infamous, and its successor, Outlast 2, really, really good psychological horror games. The first one, you are a reporter going into this abandoned mental facility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's a lot. It's a little bit based. It's got some of the same gameplay type as Amnesia, where like you're by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really fight back. You have to hide more than you can fight. And I I tried playing it with some of my friends, and we got absolutely terrified. Yeah, it is legitimately scary. If you're into like crazy scary stuff, definitely go for Outlast.
That one sounds good.
And also go for SCP.
What
this
is that?
This one got a huge cult following.
Oh, the SCP Foundation, right?
Yup.
This is
more of the Amnesia type, where you cannot fight back. You can't even look at it, at whatever is chasing you. It's
That's the SCP that if I'm not mistaken, that's the game was developed based on an internet ARG, the SCP Foundation. Which, if you find the website, it almost looks like you've accidentally discovered some secret government files. And it's just this, catalog of various, monsters and or paranormal activity from all over the world, often with some creepy photoshops and descriptions. Yeah, in terms of things that are fun, but I don't necessarily recommend looking at when you're alone in your big house late at night. I've done this. The SCP Foundation website. That's really good ARG stuff right there.
And the SCP game, if you're looking for jump scares, that's the one. Go for that one.
I do want to mention another classic horror movie that some people might not realize is I think is still quite powerful. Maybe not as scary as it once was, but is still quite powerful. Kind of going back to werewolves, Universal Pictures The Wolfman, starring Lon Chaney Jr. Now, I know, like, for a lot of people, okay, this is a black and white movie from the 30s, and everyone's kind of, we've spoofed Lon Chaney Wolfman so many times, does this even still work? The original movie, a lot like the original Godzilla, actually, despite how weird and sometimes silly the sequels would get, the original movie is this just unnerving story of a man who's bitten by a cursed wolf, and the pain that he goes through as he slowly realizes that he is turning into a murderous monster, and his inability to control it, and how his loved ones are forced to face it in the end. And the ending is absolutely chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's an ending that's kind of undercut by what the sequels ended up doing to build on it, but watched on its own, Lon Chaney Jr.'s original Universal Pictures Wolfman movie is very scary and a very well-made piece of monster moviedom from the 30s. I can't recommend that one enough.
That one.
It's a real classic.
Well, speaking of the 30s, maybe a little earlier, there's this beautiful little indie game.
Okay.
That gained traction recently, called Bendy and the Ink Machine.
Oh, yes. I haven't played this yet.
I adore this game. It's based off of a derelict cartoon studio in the Max Fleischmann, you know, era and stylings.
Yeah, the Fleischer Brothers studio. Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, you get, you're an animator who gets called back to your old studio after like 30 years because weird stuff is going on. And it's like the art style is absolutely delightful. The spooks are really good. It's, because those cartoons didn't hold back.
Like actual Fleischer cartoons are
so yeah, the actual
really
Fleischer cartoons did not
weird.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And this game brings that.
There's at least one where the character, I think it was Bimbo the Clown, is, like, getting harassed by a cult trying to make him join.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Super, like, just, Fleischer animation was, surreal and dark and weird. While Disney was going for, you know, this more wholesome look, Fleischer was experimental and insane. And on one hand, they're often remembered for, you know, Betty Boop and the best animated incarnation of Superman. But in addition to that, they just did some creepy, weird stuff.
Yep. And all those words you use to describe them can be used to describe this game.
Excellent.
It's really, really good. I highly recommend it if you haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, that's been on my list. And then I saw a promo for it the other day. I'm like, oh god, I haven't played that yet. I gotta change that.
Yeah, like, it looks like Cuphead, but it's way more dark and chilling, and it's got a way different theme.
Okay, nice. I'm going to have to take a look at that one. Less obscure title, but I do want to give it a shout out because I mentioned it. I mentioned its sequels last episode for things that aren't entirely scary and are very fun. But I got to mention Evil Dead 1, which is not nearly as funny as Evil Dead 2, but is an excellent, really well-made horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely recommend... I recommend the entire Evil Dead series, but, like, the first one is kind of inadvertently funny in places, but is just straight-up scary. The second one is the perfect blend of scary and funny. But both are super good. And so is Ash vs. Evil Dead, honestly. But, yeah, that's the... Evil Dead 1 is worth mentioning just in terms of being a scary-ass movie.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Trying to think if we have anything. I'm sure we'll probably think of more stuff later and be like, ah, should have mentioned X thing.
Well, I've got a couple left.
Okay.
Give some quick shout-outs.
Throw them at me again.
One of which to Alan Wake. Not as, like, jump scary, definitely a, like, creepy, unnerving vibe to the whole thing. The story is really excellent, and the soundtrack is really, really good, mainly because a lot of it was done by one of my, like, by my favorite band, Poets of the Fall.
Okay.
I also want to shout out to Metro 2033 and its successor, Metro Last Light. More of this traveling by yourself than an abandoned place, except it's underground. It's not in space. It's underground in the earth, and you're trying to find the surface, which... maybe polluted?
Okay.
We don't, like, yeah, it's fun like that. Also a huge shout out to Doom.
Which one?
Specifically the new one, just because that's what I got my boyfriend, and he's been playing it. And so I fell in love with a lot of the redesigns. of the monsters, especially in Hell. I love some of those guys. Like, I love the big floaty guys. And the little flaming skulls, and it's just so delightful.
I love that so many of, like, the in theory, scary things that we've been, like, discussing, like, we've used the phrase delightful to describe it.
Yeah.
Like, there's something delightful in and of that, really.
Right? And then my last shout-out is going to be to Fear.
Okay.
Which is... it's another more kind of like a shmup, almost, but what is really excellent is the story. I love the story of Fear. And Fear 2 and Fear 3. Like, it's got really good twists, it's got really good, like, unnerving themes, it's just like, it's great.
You're just making me realize I need to play more horror video games.
I know lots of them, I know even, there's even more than what I've said tonight that I love. I mean... some of the not as scary ones I love are, you know, BioShock, Bloodborne, Catherine, Lollipop Chainsaw, and the beautiful thing is there's so much more. There's so many, like, indie games out there that are spooky. Even just within Amnesia, they went and, created, like, they let people create their own custom levels Amnesia. They did a custom creator in it, and some of those stories and games, like, are even worse than the original one. So it's just like, it's really, really good if you like spooky video games, because there's a lot out there. I've said a bunch. There's a lot more. Check out what I've mentioned. And if you don't like them, you'll probably find something you do. Just because there's such variety.
Oh. I think this was a fun episode.
Yeah.
I'm sad Trey couldn't join us, but I hope we gave you some fun suggestions for some scary stuff to look into this Halloween season. And, as I'm looking at it, the only thing I can think of left is, we didn't get any mailbag, at least not that I know of. So, we are going to do, our own little run of the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. Because it's still Nerd and Ty, we're still doing the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. This will not be the same book Trey was doing the last couple fortnights, because I don't have that book. But, for those of you who don't know, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is thus. We read a random line from a page of a book, and you have to guess the title. If you write in and guess the title correctly, we add your name to the Hall of Awesome and read it on the show, and that's it. Current members of the Hall of Awesome include Arkhamai Zero, Rene Innocenti, Cheesy McDaniel, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Soros, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, and Sakura Sunset. And with that, this is our entry for the Hall of Awesome for this week.
For the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Or excuse me, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. He was followed there, Ninius informs us, by Saint Germanus, who, according to some authorities, was Vortigern's natural son by his own sister.
Really?
If you have a guess, please go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, and enter your guess for the Hall of Awesome. Yep, that's what we use, Ken.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And Ken's like, I know exactly what books are by your computer. Gosh dang it.
Right?
Alright, as always, thank you everyone for joining us on Nerd and Tie. I'm Nick Izumi.
I'm Ken Proc.
As always, please follow us wherever you get your podcasts, including iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, our own website, Nerd and Tie. If you would like to support us, please swing by Nerd and Tie. Check out our legal fund. We could really use some help, especially right now, and to contribute to that. Trey and I also both have Patreons. His is at patreon.com/TreyGorn. Mine is at patreon.com/NickIzumi. And Gen can be found as either Ocelot Dude on what services, Gen?
Pretty much everything.
So, okay.
If you just Google Ocelot Dude, it's me.
Okay, Ocelot Dude Designs or anything related to Gen. As always, we wish you all the best. Have a happy Halloween from all of us at Nerd and Tie. And most certainly, keep on Spockin' in the free world.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Keep on spooking!
Keep on spooking!
In the spook world!
No
ghosts! So many ghosts!
We better go into a dark house with night vision glasses on and yell at the ghosts.
Man, why didn't I mention Luigi's Mansion for non-spooky spook thing?
Why did we not mention that last episode? That was
Heck!
Darn it.
Dang it.
Oh, well.
We gotta do a whole nother episode just for Luigi's Mansion.
Just next Halloween, that'll be our special. It'll be just Luigi's Mansion.
Just Luigi's Mansion. Just nothing but Luigi's Mansion. I'm still so mad that they had the arcade game at the Kalahari.
Uh-huh.